Okay, the reason I chose the timing of the flood is because when I went through the study, we all know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but you may or may not realize how long the flood was actually on the earth. And that is basically the goal for tonight's study, is to provide an understanding of how long this destructive event took place. And so we'll start in question one, although not strictly part of the flood event. I asked, how long did it take to load the animals into the ark, according to Genesis 7:4? So it wasn't the loading the ark took time. There were obviously a lot of animals to load on the ark, and thus necessitating a week of just doing that. And everyone knows, according to Genesis 7:17, how long did it rain? Right. 40 days, 40 nights. That was just the beginning. And in comparison, if we want to think about today and the destructive force that nature has, how long did it rain during Hurricane Harvey? 4 days? Is that general consensus? All right, yeah, I guess it depends on where you were. 4 to 6 days, and I should have asked this question sooner, but, you know, in those 4 to 6 days, how much damage occurred in Houston, if you think about that? Have you got estimates for those? Okay. So 88 people lost their lives, 125 billion in damages? And affected a further 13 million people. Any? So that's a lot of water just in Houston alone. And we're talking about an event that is global in scale.
Can I ask you a question? You're a geologist.
All right.
When I'm researching this, it's stuff pure law, you ask a question.
I know. Well, I don't have any hard numbers, but that observation is correct, that when you pile water onto the landmass, it makes the land sink. And the same thing happens in the northern latitudes. That's a big thing with glaciers. Glaciers are these big rivers of ice that flow from the mountaintop down to the sea, and the weight of that is measurable. So they can, scientists can measure how much, when the glaciers kind of melt and retreat, the land lifts because that weight is taken off. And that's actually measurable. So that's, the weight of the water in the flood definitely would press down and compress the land. And there's a second component to that, which is how much water, and I'm just kind of arm waving here, I don't have hard numbers, but another thing you can think about is how much water was extracted from the ground to be part of the flood. If you, in Houston, we have a big problem with, maybe not a big problem, but we have a problem with the land sinking because we're sucking the water out of the ground. That's a big problem in Mexico City. There's pictures of fire hydrants that are like 20 feet up in the air because that's how much the ground has lowered over time from people sucking the water up for use in, you know, what we use water for day in and day out. So those two components would definitely lower the overall elevation of the land. Michael? Okay. Yeah. Ennis?
Well, if you think about it, you don't mention one area, the Houston area at all, but the flood, it was all over here. So if you take a ball and you have the same amount of water on the back side, the table, front side, and it's all the way around, it's going to equal out. The pressure's going to equal out, so it's not going
to. Yes, but to say that the water is going to equal out because it's the same amount all over the earth, I would have to disagree with that because there's never an equal amount of water all over the earth. And you're also not thinking about the tides that the moon is going to be impressing upon. So there's a lot of factors that when you're talking about what's pressing here and there. Yeah, I mean, really, if you sit and think about it for a while, I'm convinced that we really have no idea what the earth looked like before the flood. You know, we can say, and that's a big argument against a worldwide flood, right? How can the waters be above Mount Everest? Well, there may not have been a Mount Everest before the flood. There's no way to tell. And one of the starkest examples of that in Genesis is the rivers that are labeled in the Garden of Eden. You know, there's four rivers, and if you look at a map, contemporary maps, I think there's only two or three rivers, right? There's the Euphrates and the Tigris. There's one of those rivers. We don't have a contemporary river that we name it that. We don't even know if the rivers that we currently know as the Tigris and Euphrates were the pre-flood Tigris and Euphrates. So I'm getting way off, but I mean, any other things that we want to just wave madly about? Okay. Like I said, this is all very arm-wavy. And, you know, people who are atheistic or agnostic pound the idea that we need to be open-minded to their line of reasoning, but that same mindset is not reciprocated. You know, I'm open to these ideas of just imagining a pre-flood world or what could have happened, but if you ask someone who is closed off to those ideas, then they're going to just say you're crazy. So let's continue the crazy. But so I asked how much damage happened in Hurricane Harvey. Hurricane Harvey lasted 4 to 6 days, and we're at 40 days just at the outset. So we're going to do some math later on, and that's kind of where all these questions are coming from. So question four is, according to Genesis 7:11, what date in the year did Noah and his family enter the ark? I've got it in here somewhere. Right. So in the 600th year, on the 17th day, on the second month. That's going to become important as we go on. So keep that number in mind. And question five, I just asked, who does Genesis 7:16 say close the door of the ark? So God closed the door of the ark. And we can kind of, that can lead you into some wild speculation. You may see an author say, well, only God could have closed the door because it was so big that Noah and his family weren't strong enough to close the door, or something like that. But I think it's an interesting observation to make that the text says that God closed the doors. Whether that has any bearing or not on how big the doors actually were, I don't know. But I think it was interesting. So question six asks, how long did the floodwaters stay on the earth according to chapter 7, verse 24? 150 days. And the way we're counting this, that 150 days includes the 40 days that it rained. So the way that I'm saying to think about it is, that 150 days is how long the waters were rising. You know, when you think about flooding and they talk about the rivers, they talk about when the rivers crest, right? There's going to be a point at which the waters are rising and then they crest, that's their highest point, and they start to lower. So what I'm saying, and I believe what the Bible is saying, is that for 150 days, the water rose. You know, after 40 days, it was no longer raining, but as Steve kind of pointed out, a lot of things were happening. The fountains of the deep broke open. The windows in heaven opened. So there was still water available to continue adding to the flood. Hopefully that kind of makes sense. If you guys like get confused or you think, no, that's wrong, Matt, feel free to shout me down.
Well, we have to go by what God gave us when he told us. I mean, he's the creator. He can make anything happen. I mean, he created every heaven and earth.
He can make anything happen. I agree on this. What I'm trying to be open with is how we are reading what he's written for us. Right. So we're saying that prevailing means that the water is continuously rising. You know, and I make a point of that because when you say prevail, usually you think of, okay, sustained, right? If you're prevailing, then you're sticking with whatever's happening. So you can read prevail and just think, okay, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and then that's where the water's at. But when you read it and read through the whole thing and harmonize it, you understand that prevailing means that it's continuously rising. So, question, yes. Yes. Yes, it would have caused some amount of tectonic activity. Yes, many mountain ranges form where plates collide. Basically, all mountain ranges form where plates collide. So, you know, how much mountain building occurred during the flood, that's anybody's guess. So, I asked how long did the floodwaters stay on the earth? And going back to Hurricane Harvey, how long did the water stick around after it stopped raining during Hurricane Harvey? I like having contemporary examples. Couldn't find an answer?
Well, I know that during that week, there was a significant amount of rain.
Okay.
And we still had to do some backtracking and rerouting through the floodwaters.
Okay. So we could say they stuck around for a week, maybe longer?
Yeah, I would say longer.
Well, depending on where you live.
Okay.
Where I live, we didn't get any water at all.
Uh-huh. Right. So water was flowing from upstream. Yeah.
And in the Orange and Beaumont area, they weren't having water still until, 2 weeks afterwards?
Yeah. So we can throw out, 2-3 weeks that the water stuck around and compare that to how long the waters just rose during the flood. We're talking 150 days. That's what, at least four and a half months. So I like this comparison of Harvey with the flood, just to give you an idea of the destructive power that the flood would have had. We really can't fathom it, but we can try to imagine it in our minds just based on the destructive force of Harvey. So, question 8, the dates are important. On what date of the year were the tops of the mountains visible according to Genesis 8:4? Right. 7 month, 17th day. And we're making the assumption that each month was 30 days. Well, there's a time period, right? In verse 4 it says, then the ark rested in the 7th month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Verse 5 says, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So there's a period of time, if you think about it, right? The waters don't just disappear after the end of the 150 days. So what I'm trying to point out here is that there's a time period in which the ark came to rest, but the waters were still very high at that point. They were so high that from the 7th month to the 17th day of the 7th month to the 10th day of the 10th month, they still couldn't see the tops of the mountains, which, I mean, it's a lot of water. I mean, it's 3 months where you're stuck in a spot, but you still can't see anything, And then in the on the 10th month, you can finally see something. Yeah, it'd have to be on the top of the mountain.
And all the other mountains underwater.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, you know, yeah, among all the places in the world where the ark could be at any given time, you know, it gets stuck in a place where it's still at the highest point, at one of the highest points. Okay. So, question. Right. So you answered question 8. What day of the year were the tops of the mountains visible? I guess I should have asked when the ark came to rest. But I didn't because you'll see later. So how many days did Noah wait before he sent the raven according to Genesis chapter 8, verse 6? First typo. 40 days. And if you don't mind me, I'm going to make a confession. I didn't come up with this, all of this on my own. I read a book. It's called The Genesis Flood by Morris. And so Morris had a theory about the raven. And basically the theory was Noah sent out the raven because the raven would be able to find food by eating all the dead stuff that was floating around. So not necessarily a pleasant thought, but that's kind of, if anyone wants to conjecture why he sent out a raven, then that would be it. Right. Right. And that's not necessarily something you think about, you know. When you imagine the movie of the flood in your own mind, then I always imagine, you know, the ark is floating along, the water's pristine, you can get out and just cast overboard, cast some fishing rod overboard and fish. No, not quite. There would obviously be some amount of dead material floating around, enough to sustain not bird of prey. What am I thinking of? Scavenger. Thank you. So, then, question 10. According to verse 10, how long did Noah wait to send out the dove? 7 days. So, if you did all the questions, you kind of know where this is going, but when he uses the term another 7 days, then, and to make the time work, we kind of say, okay, this is actually the second time that Noah sent out the dove, the other 7 days. But he, so what I'm saying is that there were 7 days he sent out the dove. There's another 7 days, and he sent out the dove again, which is 14 days total, which we talk about on the next page. And then in verse 12, how long did he wait until he sent out the dove again? 7 days. So what I'm saying is that there are 3 7-day periods from when Noah sent out the raven until Noah sent out the dove, and it didn't come back. And the theory behind, okay, why did the dove not come back the first two times and then come back, or why did the dove come back the first two times and not come back the third time? The explanation given, or the theory provided, is that the dove couldn't find food the first two times, obviously, and then the third time, there may have been enough land area uncovered that plants were able to grow again and the dove could find food. So take that for me saying that. So question 12 is, what date of the year did the waters dry from the earth according to verse 13? Right.
Verse
First day, first month of the 601st year of Noah's life. And according to 14, what date of the year does it say the earth was dried? So you may be saying, you know, why is it saying these two different time periods? That the waters were dried up and then the earth was dried. And the explanation that I read, the theory that was proposed is that the waters had receded to enough of a point, but the land was not dry enough for Noah and everybody to leave. And if you think about that, it's going to take a period of time. Especially since you've been underwater for a year, there's a period of time in which the floodwaters may be gone, but you step off the boat and you're up to your neck in mud. So that would provide its own set of problems.
It may also be good that so many animals, you need an expanse of land for them to spread out.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Also, the boat was at the top of this mountain. So the water on the mountain might be gone. But down on where the land is flat, it would not be.
That. I'll take that.
Well, to go back to the park, it might have taken 2 or 3 weeks for the water to go back basically down to where it was before the park came through. But it took quite a while after that before it dried out.
Yes, right. And if you think about the homes that were flooded, right, the first thing they're going to go, they're not waiting for the time period from when the floodwaters are gone until everything's dried out. There's a time period, right?
Now, one of those things we know in this town is that if it rains long enough and the ground gets saturated, and it starts raining again, it just floods immediately.
Right.
So it takes a while for that ground to dry out.
Well, and going back to one thing that I just now realized is that they're on the side of a mountain, right? If the side of the mountain is soaked through with water, they're going to want to wait for it to dry. Otherwise, they step outside and there's a landslide. You know, anytime there's a lot of rain in mountainous regions, it's a lot easier for landslides to occur. Ennis. I don't know. That's the thing. Your guess is as good as mine. Okay.
So they may have had water included for the animals.
They might have needed to wait for.
He provided everything.
He did. Ennis.
That top bit right there where the rest must have been bad enough basically the arch to be there, but it's probably rock. So they very well their plants are going to want to put out after the.
Yeah. So it you know, we don't plant stuff right after rainfall. It's a lot harder to work the earth.
Well, it was God's idea. I mean, he was the creator and he knows everything, and God is the one who said you can go out now. I mean, yeah, it wasn't Noah taking all kinds of calculations and looking at everything. God said,
I'll give you that. You know, verse 16, 15 and 16 does explain when God told Noah that he could leave the ark. We're just kind of doing what I hate and conjecturing. But be that as it may. Question 14, we're trying to harmonize this whole thing. So question 14 says, assuming 30 days to a month, then how many days passed from Genesis 7:11 to Genesis 8:14? And you got to go back. So Genesis 11 said 17th day of the second month. 14 says the seventh day of the second month of the next year. After 180 days?
12 months and 30 days is 16 plus 1 day is 80. Whether it's a lunar year or a solar year, I add 5 days.
Okay.
I can only pretend for 1 year.
Okay. Well, that's math for you. I mean, I came up with 370, so the 17th day.
370 verse 71, by the way, man. Probably at the end of the lesson, you came up with 371. I'm not saying a word, but the difference is I'm going to do the same. But if you're counting the second, what would it say, the second month, 17th day of the month when it started, if you count to the end of the month, you can't subtract that and include that day.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that.
17
right. But if it's the 17th day, you include, yeah, that's 14. Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to the next page. So we're kind of using both pages here. And we're saying that the first blank, how many the days that the rain fell is 40. Now, the number of days that the water prevailed on the earth. So, this is where probably everybody's math is going to get thrown off, because it does say 150, but that 150 includes the 40 days. So, I should have wrote that down. So, it's 150 minus 110, or it's 150 minus 40. So, it's actually 110. For this calculation. And then we have a period of time where the water's decreased from the 150 days to Genesis 8:5, which is the first day of the 10th month. So I did that math for you because I didn't want to do it in class. So that's 74. Does anybody want to dispute 74 as the day, as the number of days? Okay. I mean, feel free to. I'm open to listening. So, and then 8, 6, and 7, number of days Noah waited to let the raven go. 40 days. And then, as I explained before, Noah waits 7 days from the first raven to the dove. Based on making the math work and based on the phrase other seven days. And then the number of days Noah waited before sending out the dove, 7 days. Number of days before Noah sent out the dove a third time. So total so far, 285. And the reason I asked for the total so far is because it's not laid out very, very simply. It's a mixed bag, you know. Here's a period of days, here's a period of days, here's a date. And that makes it difficult to figure the whole thing out unless you're tallying everything up. So that's why I had the tally to that point. Because the next time marker is a date. So you have to go from the total number of days until the first day of the first month of the 601st year. How many days is that? I did the math for you. That's 29 days. If I don't know. Did anybody do the math? Is anybody struggling with this? I think it sounds like Rocky did the math. Does 29 days jive? We're going to say it does. All right. So, which means you have to do 29 days. 29 days gets you to the first day of the first month of the 601st year. They don't give you another number of days. They don't give you another time span. They give you another date. So that brings us to, you have to do 29 for to get to the first day of the first month, and then you have to figure out how many days to get to from the first day of the first month to the 27th day of the second month, assuming 30 days. I know, it's hard, but I went ahead and made you guys do that one. Anybody? 57. There you go. Well done. So that's 30 plus 27, which means if you tally the whole thing up, the total number, the days, if you add all these numbers up, not the 285, but all the other numbers on the left-hand side, how many days do you get it for the total flood episode? 371. So we add the one day for the 17th day when they went in. And if you, which matches, if you say, okay, how many days is it from the first day of the, or how many days is it from the 17th day of the second month of the 600th year to the 27th day of the second month of the 601st year? That's the last one. The total number of, oh no, I didn't ask that. That is the answer to question 14. If you assume 30 days in the month, then how much time passes from 7:11 to 8:14? So the answer to 14 should match the blank on the last blank on the second page. It should. It may not. I don't know. So now that we've got that whole headache out of the way, but the point is, I mean, it's a very convoluted way of going through this. The greater point is, the flood wasn't just 40 days and 40 nights. It was an entire year. And being an entire year, I don't really know of any place that's been flooded for an entire year. You know, I mean, at that point, it's just basically underwater. You know, you're in a lake or something. Well, I imagine there was a lot of, I mean, if you think about a family farm, there's not a lot of time to get into trouble, so, or go crazy. But don't put away your Bibles. We're not done. So I prepared for this contingency. Yeah, right. So the Ark Encounters is pretty neat and pretty thorough with that. So I want to now present an idea that we touched on last week, or that we touched on Sunday. Sunday's included in this week, right? You know, we talked about the age of the earth, and we added up the years of all the patriarchs, and I want to present to you an argument contradicting a straight summation of all of the patriarchs. So you may get mad and say, well, why did we spend an hour going over the math on Sunday? And I would say that that's one method. But you may encounter arguments saying that method doesn't work. So I want to introduce you to those arguments, and you can decide for yourself if they're valid or if the time period may be a little bit longer. I'm not saying that there's millions of years, there's still several very stark contradictions between man's theory of how the earth formed and how old it is and the period that the Bible gives. But there is an argument that's made that, one, the firstborn, I'm probably only going to be able to do one. The firstborn is not necessarily the one mentioned as the son of. We talked about this on Sunday. When we go back to Genesis 11:32. In Genesis 11:32 it says, so the days of Terah were 205 years. Nope, that's not it. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 26, it says, now Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Which, if you just read that straight, you think, well, did he have triplets in 1 year? And the answer is, no, he didn't. He had, starting from that year, he had three children within a period of time. And Abram, obviously being the son of promise, was put first. But Abram wasn't the firstborn, quote unquote. And this is true, I think, something that I want to illustrate to you is that when we look at the lineage, if you go back and you read the lineage of Jesus, the firstborn is not the one that's followed throughout. Okay? So if you think about David, David was part of the lineage. Who was the next one that's part of the lineage to get to Jesus? All right, was Solomon David's firstborn? No. So that's something that can get stuck in our minds, right? The firstborn is the one that inherits everything, gets all the stuff, but under God's consideration, the firstborn isn't necessarily the most important one. The most important one is the one that's part of the lineage that stretches all the way to Jesus. Right. So Esau was born first for, you know, however many minutes first, but Esau was still the son of promise. And the same is true, so there's a couple other examples of that. Or I'm going to give, there's one other example of that, and that's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So in Genesis 11:10, it says that Shem was 100 years old, and he had Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So if he's 100, 2 years after the flood, when was he born? So Noah was 600 years old. Well, 600 years old, 601 years old. At the time of the flood, which if you subtract 98, because Shem is 102 years later, then Noah is 502 when he has Shem. And when does it say that Noah had children? According to... Right. He was 500 years old. So Shem was born 200 years after it says that Noah had kids. That's it. Thank you for your kind attention.